Grace to you and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The gospel reading for today from the Gospel of John comes on the heels of last Sunday's gospel reading from Matthew's record of the baptism of Jesus. And again, I'd like to read. John states that the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, "Look, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." I'm not sure if those who heard John refer to Jesus as the Lamb of God really heard the implications of what John was saying or not. But my guess is that they probably understood the metaphor better than we do. For you see, we tend to have a way of sanitizing and purifying things that we find distasteful and hard to swallow to make them more palatable. For example, we don't speak of a man anymore being fired from his job. We prefer to say that that man was let go. We don't refer to a very large woman as being overweight anymore. Instead, we refer to her as curvy. We don't speak of a child as having flunked a grade. We say that that child has been held back. And we are encouraged to speak of those foreigners who are in our country illegally as undocumented workers as opposed to illegal aliens. And so it is that we have also sanitized and purified our understanding of what it meant for Jesus to be called the Lamb of God. I looked up that term, Lamb of God, on Yahoo just to see what kind of pictures would pop up. And here are a few of the cute little lambs that popped up that are representative of most of the pictures that appeared in reference to that term, the Lamb of God. Notice how cute and gentle and pure they all look. Even the few pictures that had a cross or a crown of thorns included were still dominated by a pure, white, innocent-looking little lamb. All of which has nothing to do with the implications of the term as used by John. You see, the baptizer didn't call Jesus the Lamb of God because he was such a gentle, meek, and sinless man. John called Jesus the Lamb of God because Jesus had come to take away the sin of the world, which meant that Jesus had come to be a sacrificial lamb, which meant that he had come to be slaughtered as the payment for our sin. And that's when John spoke of Jesus as the Lamb of God. He wasn't referring to a lamb that looked like this, but one that looked like this. Had John and Jesus been around today, John might have said something very different when he saw Jesus. Instead of saying, "Behold the Lamb of God," he might very well have said of Jesus, "Dead man walking." For though Jesus was very much alive, he was as good as dead. Like a condemned prisoner walking from his cell to the death chamber to be executed. So Jesus carried out his ministry as a man on the way to his cross. on the way to his death chamber, where he would be executed to pay for the sins of the world. From the moment that he was born into this world as Mary's little lamb, his mission was to die. He came to be our sacrificial lamb, that we might be forgiven of our sins through his shed blood. And thus, throughout the book of Revelation, that book which gives us a glimpse into eternity, where Jesus, our Savior, is seated on the throne of heaven as our King, that book continues to refer to him as the Lamb. And why? Not because he is so pure and so gentle and so meek and such. I mean, he is all of those things, but that's not the point. Revelation refers to him as the Lamb because he died that we might live. Paul reminds us in Philippians 2, Jesus humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place. And thus, the book of Revelation reminds us over and over again that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, the one who sits enthroned over all creation, is the one who won our entrance into heaven by his death on the cross and by his resurrection from the grave. And thus, he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You know, I think so often we picture the lamb metaphor for Jesus in terms of this spotless, white, cute little lamb because it doesn't offend our sensibilities like a picture of a bloodied, dead lamb does. But it also is not an honest representation of why John called Jesus the Lamb of God. Nor does it help us remember who Jesus is or what he actually came to do. The same thing is true for us when we speak of Jesus as our King or teacher or miracle worker or provider and such. I mean, certainly our Lord and our Savior of Jesus, he is all of those things. That's true. He's the sovereign of our lives. He teaches us the way and the will of God. He heals us and he helps us in all of our needs. He provides for all of our daily needs. All of those things he absolutely and most certainly does for us. But all of those titles and roles and actions of Jesus, they all take a back seat to him as the Lamb of God, the one sent to save us from the punishment of our sin. And so today, as we hear Jesus referred to as the Lamb of God, and every time in the future, when we hear that term used to refer to Jesus, I hope that we think of a sacrificed lamb rather than a sanitized lamb. For you see, Jesus, the God-man, sits enthroned in heaven, and we are destined for life in heaven for no other reason than that he is the Lamb of God who took away the sin of the world. to God and to the Lamb be all praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength forever and ever. Amen.